the rest of the previous year, with a whole series of halachas that revolve around the brisa of kedei shabishu b'avos le'lasha b'chala. Mishal arei zebenei kedam. A person has a pot they used to cook fleshes in, but then they are not allowed to cook milch in that pot. And if they do, then the resulting food may be treif. The resulting milk may be treif, depending on just how much bleed, how much absorption of taste was in the original world of pot in the first place. How you test that, either through a goy, through shish, again, the different ways of determining that, as we spoke about in the past. But it's clear that the halacha is treating the tam of basa that's balu inside the walls of the pot as the halacha equivalent of basa. Now, whether that's true at a level of deraisa or only at a level of derabanan, that we spoke about in the past, about there is some question whether this brisa is actually telling us it's in deraisa. Maybe this falls short of basa b'chol deraisa for a variety of reasons. Either maybe it's not tam ki ikra, tam ki ikra doesn't maybe apply in any circumstances, maybe it's not called derech bishol. So we had a whole series of different reasons why maybe we can mitigate the issue a little bit. But the issue is still here, whether it's the right or the bottom of the mic, it is still here. And everybody knows that every woman knows that if you by mistake used a fleshy pot to cook milk, you have a potential problem on your hands. Nevertheless, the Rishonim come and qualify this din by saying that when does it make sense to prohibit the food after the fact if you cooked in a fleshy pot? That's only true if the fleshy pot was only close to there by Yoma. I mean, the pot has been used for meat within the last 24 hours. If it hasn't been used within the last 24 hours, all bets are off, because that's what's called no sin tam of gam. Whatever taste is inside the walls of the pot is not really edible, not really good tasting anymore. And we have a Gemara in the end of Avodah Zarah that learned that from Sukkim. The Torah says, take the nevela, take the non-kosher meat, and feed it to the goyim. Give it to the ger toshes, give it to the goyim to eat, etc. The Gemara is a drash from the fact that the Torah described giving it to the goyim to eat, that implies that it's edible. And therefore, if it's inedible, that's not called nevela altogether. So all of the bachos and surahs fall by the wayside if the food is no longer right, lachilas adam, at least at the level of their isa. So therefore, the Gemara says that just as if you have a piece of meat that's nevela that's sitting around for weeks on end out in the sun, it gets spoiled, it gets to the point we don't want to eat it anymore, so it loses its status of trefus in that Torah. So too, if you have a taste, you have a tam that's absorbed inside the walls of a pot, after 24 hours it already is done. It's fish, it's history. It was called nosin tam of gam. And if you subsequently cook any food in that pot, even though you just cooked chazer in it 2 days ago, the food will be kosher. But the other food will be all right. So the Rishonim said the same issue for most b'chola, that if I have a tam of basa that tastes miserable already, it tastes horrible already, because it's been sitting in the walls of the pot for more than 24 hours, that tam cannot create basa b'chola. The veil shed really gear, that's not called treifos, that's not a violation of kashrus. And therefore, b'di'ad, if you went ahead and you cooked over the fleshy pot and cooked milchiks, the food's going to be okay. As long as 24 hours have elapsed, it's your last use of fleshiks. This is the din that, again, this particular prop, vis-a-vis Bos Mechol, doesn't appear in the Gemara. So the Brisa doesn't make the statement, but all the Rishonim, it's Chilvi Atzoy, all the Rishonim say it, and Shulchan Aruch is quoted, Glishum Cholek, and this is Bos Mechol. Every Rav knows that this is the ABCs, the Pasi, and Bos Mechol of Shailas. The first question we always ask is, when was the last time it was used for a fleshix? However, in terms of lumdus, we have to take a step back and ask ourselves, as universally known this is to be true, is it really true? Are we really convinced that this halacha that's so partial in the Gemara and in the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch, is it in fact true? And in order to understand what the potential problem with this halacha, the potential curveball thrown at us by this halacha, we have to take a little bit of a step back to analyze some general rules in terms of kashrus, and then as they play out in terms of the particulars of Bos Mecholot. So let's go to the fifth of the Marmekobos. The Gemara Pesachim Chavtal and Rebbein makes almost makes a statement about one particular Macholos Asuros that usually doesn't speak to us. We very rarely get these kinds of shailas, but it's going to serve as a potential springboard for our topic. The Gemara is discussing, if a person eats something which is treif, he eats it shaloi kiderech achila. But one of the classic examples that the Gemara gives is, if a person eats chelev, eats the prohibited fat, but eats them raw. Well, it's crazy. Mashulina eats chelev raw. Chelev is cooked up. I don't find chelev all that appealing anyway. So once or twice we rejected some animals, but I didn't check that. I just looked at the shechitas. Again, I don't know, that would be my number one, choice in a restaurant to have a bowl of a chaylev. But my person eats chaylev, if they eat it cooked, the chayev curry, if they eat it raw, it's not necessary. So, chaylev chay is potter. Why is that? The Gemara says, because it's shalaki derech achila. So it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't put a pasuk for that, just makes a statement. That's not the normal way of eating, and therefore you're not going to be chayav in that pasuk. Nevertheless, the Gemara says there's an exception to that rule. So although that statement is true, vis-a-vis chaylev and nezelis and treifis, but in the fifth of the Gemara, comes Amar Abaye, ha-komodim bekili ha-kerem, shalokit alein afilu shalokit ha-chad ha-osun. What would it then be if a person derived benefit from kili ha-kerem? Kili ha-kerem is wheat and barley and grapes that are all planted together. So the resulting mixture is kili ha-kerem, is actually osu b'achil and osu b'anom in ha-torah. The Gemara derives this from Sukkim. Comes Abaye and says, that tour of shaloi kederech that applies to chaylev, to nevelis, to treifis, to chazir, etc., that p'tuah shaloi kederech wouldn't apply to kili ha-kerem. My high, manishtan a kili ha-kerem for all other areas of halacha. The Gemara says, my time, we should look, sivu achila, because whereas nevelis and treifis and chaylev and chazir, the Torah uses the word achila, so the word achila has a certain connotation. The word achila conjures up an image of a normal person sitting down having dinner. Well, a normal person eats cooked meat. A normal person, I'm a sugar that doesn't eat raw chaylev. So since the Torah uses the word achila, achila has a certain meaning to it, therefore we exclude a person who does a shalok kederech. However, when it comes to kili hakerem, the Torah never says, don't eat kili hakerem. How do you know you're not allowed to eat kili hakerem? It's a roundabout way. The Torah says, lo sizucha karmucha kilayim, and Pashti says it. Don't plan kili hakerem. And if you do, pentikdash abalei azerish et Israel tvosakom. If you do, so then pentikdash, a terrible thing is going to happen. And what is that terrible thing? The Gemara Kedushin explains, the Teshuvah Pen tells us, pentikdash is almost like a play in the combination of two words, tukat esh, means it will have to be burnt. If you plant kili hakerem, you're going to end up having to burn the kili hakerem. Why? Because you can't eat it. Why? Because you can't use it. So within this word, within the phrase of pentikdash, teaches us a din d'oraisa, the kili hakerem are asur b'achila, asur b'hadar. But it doesn't say the magic word achila. It comes a bai with the gevaldik chiddush. The bai tells us, b'med devam amurim, that something is excluded because it's shaloi kederech. That's when the Torah uses the word achila. So achila has the connotation, kederech, in contrast to shaloi kederech. But if the whole prohibition is framed in a way not using the word achila, such as b'kili hakerem, it's all better off.
So,
it's not the result of the act, it's just the act itself. Right, if a person happened to have gotten chaz and molecules into his body in some other way, you put it into an IV or something, that's not called achilas chaz.
Then it would go
by
the
Christmas festival of Halloween. Right, it's about
the end result.
I mean, you have to do a maisach. If you don't do a maisach chila, then you didn't violate lo socha. So if a ma'isachila is defined by a normal ma'isachila, so I didn't do it. So comes the Bible and says that the buck stops here for kili hakerem. By time should look sibu achila, because it doesn't use the word achila, and therefore, well, kili hakerem will end up being stricter than all other isurim, and it won't be subject to the leniency of shalom kederach. So comes the Gemara in the sixth of the Mamakavos and says in the middle of a whole shakma time the Gemara, otu v'bas b'chol v'achila k'sibu bay. And guess what? Does the Torah use the word achila by bas b'chol? It happens to also not use the word achila. How in the world do we know you can't eat bas b'chol? So the Torah says, "Los avashim b'chol avibo." So the Torah explains to us that since it says it three times, so one of those times is the teacher, you can't eat it. Once the teacher, you can't cook. Once the teacher, you can't be nana, etc. So there's no question that you can't eat bas b'chol. Nobody in the world says you can eat bas b'chol. No Tana, no Amor, no Rishon. Nobody who believes in the Messiah ever said you can eat bas b'chol. But Lamais doesn't say the word achila. It says lo sabasha, which is interpreted by Teshuva Peh to mean, i.e. achila. It comes the Gemara and says that according to Abaye's theory, that whenever the Torah doesn't use the magic word achila, so then there's no p'tuah of shalom kederech, and then it should follow that there's no p'tuah of shalom kederech on bas b'chol either. If a person eats bas b'chol of shalom kederech, it'd be chayav. Now, the definition of shalom kederech could be a little bit different. I can't say, well, how come I see you ate it raw? If you ate it raw, then you didn't eat bas b'chol of b'yachet. Now, come to another crazy scenario. A guy ate some boiling hot bas b'chol, it's burning his throat. How much sugar? The guy is crazy. So if he would do that with chaylev, he would have to be potter. Some sugar, the guy, nobody eats that way. But if he does that with his bas b'chol, so then he would be chay, because otu achil eksibbe, it doesn't say the loshen achil. So these are the two cases that the Gemara singles out as exceptions to the rule of shalok ederach. One is kelei akeri, one is bas b'chol. These are the only two that appear in the Gemara explicitly. The Rishonim and the Acharonim go to town to try to find others. There's a famous Sheges Aryeh that discusses eating Shalok Kederach on Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur also doesn't say Achila. It says Inui, what would the din be at eating on Yom Kippur? Rishonim of other potential nafkaminas, other potential exceptions to this rule. But in the Gemara itself, these are the only two that are singled out, that are the non-achila isurim kedei kerem and bosu b'cholov. Comes the Gemara in the seventh of the Marmakamos, in Masechet Avodah Zarah, the Gemara that we referenced a few minutes before, and tells us, how do we know the entire principle of Neshet Tavlovkan? How do we know the whole din that when things taste bad, they're not subject to the rules of Kashrus anymore? The Marcos of Brisa, we mentioned before this on, seventh of the Marmakamos. Lo Sochu Konavela, the Gerashe B'Sharecha. The Torah says in one breath, don't eat the vela and give it to the Ger Toshav. Give it to the Ger, and this pasuk is obviously not the Jewish Ger, it means the Ger Toshav. Kol ha-ru'i l'ger kriya nevela. She'ein ru'i l'ger in a kriya nevela. Whatever is edible for a ger, whatever is normally eaten by a ger, is called nevela. Whatever a ger wouldn't touch, the meat's been sitting out for the last 6 months, so it's spoiled rotten, no normal person would touch it. That's called ein ru'i l'ger, and therefore, it is not subject to the prohibition of the veil in the first place, at least on the level of the Araisa. So, came along with Yenisit Ibishit to the safer, crazier place on your Ardea, and began to connect the dots between the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah, and said, we have two sugyas that are basically saying the same thing. We have two Gemaras that are talking about eating things in funny, strange, bizarre ways. One Gemara is talking about Oichol Chelev Chai, the guy who's eating raw fat. One Gemara is talking about a guy eating spoiled meat. But they're just two sides of the same coin, says the Gemara Maseches Pesachim. They're both expressions, both examples of the same basic principle of just eating things in a bizarre manner. And the Gemara gave us two klolim. One is that in Kol Tarakula, the din of Achila doesn't apply, the issue of Achila Trefas doesn't apply, if it's Shulay Kederech. But the exception to that rule is, if and when the Torah doesn't use a Lashon Achila, then all bets are off. So comes the Gemara Maseches and just simply connected the dots and said, based on what I just said, the sugya in the seventh of the Ramakomas, Lo Sochu Konavela, the Vela Sheruli Ger Enikru Nevela, cannot possibly apply to Bas B'Cholof. It is impossible for that sugya to apply to Bas B'Cholof, because Bas B'Cholof Oto Achila Ksivei. It doesn't say Achila. So just as the Gemara says that Oichol Chelev Chai, that's true by Chelev, but the parallel would not be true by Kilei Akem and Bas B'Cholof. So too the Gemara of Adazar, it says the Vela Sheruli Ger. Yes, that's true. That's a good exemption, a good tour by Chela, by Nevelis, by Trevis, by Chazar, etc. But it cannot possibly be true by Kilei Kerem or by Vos B'Chol. It's the same thing. Just a Shulak Adach and then Shulak Adach. So he just drew an equation, he just drew a line of an equation between the Sugyas and Pesachim and the Sugyas and Avodah Zarah. They're talking the same language. They're all talking about irregular ways of eating things. And again, the buck stops here. When the Torah uses the Lashon Achila, yeah, does he use the Lashon Achila? No.
That concept is not similar kind of concept.
Oh, we're going to get to that. That question is going to be part of the answer. We didn't yet finish the question. You're ready. Two steps ahead. The Kavya and Abishas, and now poses the following interesting question. It says, well, based on everything I just told you, says the and Abishas, what would the din be as follows? A person has Bas B'Chol, cheeseburger, whatever you think is the ultimate Bas B'Chol. It's Chalon and Hashem, Bas B'Chol of its trait, and we say you don't need it, you're going to get Malkus there. I said, okay, no problem. I'm going to leave it out in the sun for the next 6 months. It's going to get rotten, miserable, smelly, terrible, rancid, and then I'm going to eat it. What would you say to such a person? So if the person would do that with a piece of Nevela, what would you say to him? I mean, that's everything is a thing. You're a Nevela, you're a really care guy. So that's okay. You're not going to give you malchus. If you would do that same thing with a shtickle bus of a cholov, you take a cheeseburger and have it rot for a few days outside, what would we say to you? Sorry, I'm going to give you malchus. You know why? Because we can't pass you for a bus of a cholov, because bus of a cholov is not subject to the pturim of shalak ederach. Well, let's say the same fellow would take his piece of kiliyak kerem. He would have his wheat and his barley and his grapes that grew together, and he's got this plant, he's got this bowl of cereal, this made up of Kilei HaKerem, and he puts it out somewhere for years and years. It's rotten. It smells. It's terrible. What would we say to the guy? He's still chayim. Because all the Pesachim of Shulchan Aruch fall by the wayside whenever we're dealing with Kilei HaKerem, whenever we're dealing with Bas B'Cholof. Again, just connected the dots. It's Pesachim. If Pesachim Chavdal and Avodah Zarah and Pesachim Chavdal say the same thing, which presumably they are, and Bas B'Cholof and Kilei HaKerem are excluded from Pesachim Chavdal, and they're excluded from Avodah Zarah, Pesachim Chavdal as well. But now he comes in with the punchline. If that's the case, we have a very, very serious problem. Because If so, what was the source for the entire statement that we said that taste that's absorbed inside the walls of a pot, if the 24 hours goes by the wayside? If the 24 hours, you don't have to be worried about it anymore. Where did that thing come from? How do you know? Not immediately. Who taught us that halacha that if you cooked chazer last week and now you cook kosher food, ignore it. It's fine. Everything's okay. What's the source for that? The Gemara says explicitly in Avodah Zarah, the source for that is losochu kol nevela lagera shebisharech t'tena b'chol, that it's an available generally gear. The same way that the piece of meat sitting in the sun rots after 6 months, so too the food that's balloon inside the walls of the pot, it rots very, very quickly. Once it's inside the walls of the pot, 24 hours, it's done. It tastes terrible at that point. So comes the Beyonce Abish and says, wait a second, if you're going to tell me that the entire institution of nice and tablet of gam in walls of pot, the entire idea of Kedavish and Ben Yomo, that entire idea of waiting 24 hours and then the halacha changes, is predicated on the rule of Nevela Shinu L'Ger, in what area of halacha is it going to break down? It's going to break down. And the rules of 24 hours are meaningless, because the rules of 24 hours are only an expression of the principle of Nisan Tam of Gam, which is an expression of the principle of the Nevela Shinu L'Ger, which is part of the general heading of Shalai Kedech Achila, which doesn't apply to Bas B'chol. So that was the Gemara's answer. Gosh, yeah. Kolotar Kul in front of him. Yeah, Gemara's in Sachin, Gemara's in Berazaria. Everything put together. He says, based on what I just said, that should be the din. Allah Almighty, that should be the din. That all better, all kulos are all from Bas B'chol. So you waited 24 hours for your chazapot, that's okay. You waited 24 hours for your nevelos to trade the spot, that's okay. You waited 24 hours for your Bas B'chol pot, that's not okay. Because the whole kula of 24 hours is only true when we're dealing with the shloka derech achila type of halacha, which doesn't play out in Rosh Mechol, because look, sibah achila. If that's the case, as Rosh says, it's a kasha, kusha, suba, on all the Rishonim, on the Shulchan Aruch, on every Jewish housewife for the last thousands of years, everybody knows, if more than 24 hours passed, the rabbi asks, tell me, when was the last time you could play? She says, 3 days ago, good, but the evidence everything's okay. Well, the evidence okay. Everything should still be traced because so what is the Nevela Shinu L'Ger? Big deal. There's no tour of the Nevela Shinu L'Ger in the realm of Bas B'chol. That's where the Rebbe Abish's bomb cash. So comes to the Rebbe Abish and gives the following term. He says, 100% correct that the tour of the Nevela Shinu L'Ger does not apply to Bas B'chol. That is true. No, all the shikata, all the dots I just connected are absolutely true. However, there's a tremendous, tremendous difference between what I just said to the Rosh Hashanah and the scenario that the Rishon and Shulchan Aruch described. Says the Rosh Hashanah, if I had, let's say I had Bas B'chol, a real Bas B'chol, real meat, real milk, I'm cooking it up in a pot together, and the tam becomes balua into the walls of the pot, I have Bas B'chol mamish in the walls of my pot. And now I wait 24 hours. Waiting 24 hours doesn't do it. Doesn't stop anything. You know why? Because I just connected the dots. I just said, once the Yisra Bas B'chol is chal, then nothing can destroy it. Nothing can remove it. Having it wait in the sun doesn't help. Having it wait in the walls of the pot doesn't help. Nothing can stop. Nothing can be mafkia Yisra Bas B'chol once it sets in, because the Nevela Shinu L'Ger is a meaningless tour in the realm of Bas B'chol. Because look, Sibah Achila. However, that's not what happened. In every case, in every Jewish home, nobody's cooking Bas B'chol. What's happening is as follows. I have a pot that I cook fleishik in, and now 24 hours have passed, and now I cook milchiks in it. So I'm asking a different shayla. I'm not asking whether there's a tour of Nosin Tamas Gav for Bas B'chol. I am asking a different question. Can I create Bas B'chol with a Tam Pogrom? That's a totally different question. Can a Tam Pogrom be used to create Bas B'chol? The answer to that question has nothing to do with the Nevela Shinu L'Ger. The answer to that question is, of course not. There's no way in the world you can create Bas B'chol with a Tam Pogrom. I'll tell you why. Very simple reason. The four magic words that Zerah quoted. Derech Bishul Asra Torah. Remember the four most significant words in Bas B'chol? Derech Bishul Asra Torah. What that means is as follows. That in order for Bas B'chol to kick in, it has to follow a normal recipe. Because otherwise, that's just how you cook things. What's a normal recipe? You have to put in good tasting food. Imagine if you put miserable, horrible, rancid food into a recipe. Would that be called Bas B'chol? Mashal Mada V'dayma. A person is reading a delicious recipe. This is how you prepare the following Bas B'chol stew. you take a piece of geshmak meat, you take some good milk, and cook it together, and that's supposed to help. Never, the guy can't find a good meat, but he finds a piece of meat that's been sitting outside for 6 months, spoiled rotten to the core. Then he goes in and he finds a container of milk sitting in the refrigerator from last year, rotten, spoiled to the core. And he mixes the two together, and he cooks it up, and he says, oh, then never boss b'chol about b'tayra. Because after all, he learned the shtickle Torah yes, and Ibershit, and he knows that the veil should look good, doesn't apply. So that's as far as that's a joke, says the veil and Ibershit. That's not boss b'chalav, because you can't create boss b'chalav without derech b'shalos Torah. And derech b'shalos Torah means that the ingredient tastes good. If the ingredient tastes miserable, or one of the ingredients tastes miserable, al zel onem derech b'shalos Torah. And therefore, veil and Ibershit says, notwithstanding my absolute conviction to the fact that there's no p'tur of Nevel Shul there by Bas B'cholot. And there's no p'tur of Kedair Shul Ben Yom by Bas B'cholot. That is 100% true if and when Bas B'cholot was already created. But in the creation, the formation of Bas B'cholot, of course the Ta'am would have to taste good. If they don't taste good, that's another chisar. That's nothing to do with Nevel Shul Ager. That is excluded by Bas B'cholot because of their Nema, L'Savashel Dech B'shul L'Savashel. That's not a recipe putting in horrible, miserable, toasted top of gum ingredients. That's the essential of your
time.
Maybe it has both b'chol in it? Okay, so what? Yeah, why not? No. I can't make both b'chol be mutter by just having it taste bad. I can have it become mutter by removing it. What Hagola does is that removes it like I'm not here anymore. But this is the essential of your redemption. Of course, his entire Shtickle Torah was predicated on one assumption. The one assumption was that the Gemara in Pesach and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah are basically two sides of the same coin. That there's one sugya of Shalom Kederech, and there's a similar sugya, parallel sugya about Nosa Tamuz Gam, the Vesh Shalom Ager. It's basically all the same, and both of these halachas apply to Kol HaTorah Kula, and they don't, neither of these halachas apply to Bas B'chol V'Kilei HaKerev. That was the whole premise of the question. Came along the Nesivus, Nesivus Chavadas, his parish in Yerodea, and he says, Mechilus Kovod, the Heilig of Yerodea, the entire question, which necessitated the entire Shtickel Torah, the entire question was based on a mistaken premise. Says the Nesivus, these two sugyas are not one and the same. They are two completely and totally different sugyas. One is a sugya in Pesach, I'm talking about Shalai Kederech. One is the sugya in Avodah Zarah talking about Revel Shenu L'Ger, and they have mamash nothing to do with each other. They have so nothing to do with each other, says the Nesivus, that the Gemara never cross-references them. The Gemara never compares them. The Gemara never quotes it. Oh, by the way, let's talk about the two together. They're in different sechtas. They're 1,000 blind apart from one another. They have mamash nothing to do with each other. What's the difference between them? Says the Nesivus, as he was a little bit before Rav Chaim, generation before Rav Chaim, but he invokes basically terminology that we're more familiar with today in the world of post Rav Chaim, that basically one is the din of the Gavra and one is the din of the Chesed. Shaloi Kederech Achila means that you as a Gavra are doing something strange. You are doing something that's bizarre. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with the food that's sitting on the table in front of you. L'mashal, l'oichol chelav chai. Is there anything wrong with chelav chai? What's wrong with chelav chai? If you put it into a pot in an hour from now, it'll taste delicious. There's nothing pocha. The yisra wasn't pocha from the chelev chai. Nothing has transformed the chelev chai to be ois chelev. It's still chelev. Except you as a person chose to eat it in a very bizarre manner. But mitzad ha-chelev, the chelev hasn't undergone any major transition that is pocha, is mafkiya the shem chelev from it. However, in the veil of shenu l'geya, what does that mean? It means I took a piece of meat, I put it out in the sun, and it's rotted after 6 months, it's never coming back again. It's never going to become good tasting meat again. It's done, it's finished. It has undergone a transformation in its very essence. The chefta is a different chefta of Nevela. And the two totally different parishes, says the chefta. And therefore, when does the Gemara say that, Ato achilik simba, when it doesn't say achila, that all bets are off in Sakam Chavdalit, because there's nothing has changed in the chefta. It was being done. Have you done a ma'is achila? The Torah says, and a ma'is achila done shalai kederech is nish ma'is achila. But med devar mamurim that that's a pot there when the Torah speaks about derech achila, when the Torah speaks about term achila. And al zeh nema in the Gemara that if it's bas b'chol v'kili akerem, when the Torah doesn't say achila anyway, So the Torah doesn't say achila, then we don't require a gaver to do a ma'aseh achila, and even shloki derech is going to be chayim. But in Eved Zarah, Sabbath Zion, we're talking about it's not treifach anymore. It's not chazir. Part of the definition of nevela means it has to be a real, real gear. If it's not real gear, it's ois nevela. It's mufka, the cheft, the shame of nevela.
There's a lot of
doctor,
meaning if it would be possible to follow instead of.
Absolutely right. It would be true of Basra Pahal also, right. The Gemara is talking about nevela because the Pasuk happens to be talking about nevela. Nevela says that the model called Tarakula, including Basra Pahal, which is a care. As in the season, if you have a cheeseburger that's been out of the sun for 6 months, it's kosher min haTorah. The same as the Nevela's kosher min haTorah, because it's part of the shame, bas v'chol from it. So when the Gemara said that bas v'chol and kilakem are different from Isuri Achila, that meant vis-a-vis dinim that in Isaiah, dinim that emanate from the Gavra, dinim that emanate from the Chemsa, it's not bas v'chol, it's not Nevela, it's worthless, it's meaningless, it's not ethyl anymore. That's the Gavra difference. And that's the case, that Nevela Shehul Gear was never excluded by bas v'chol. And the corollary of Eina ben Yomo was never excluded either, and the whole kash of the city of the crazy place you never get off the ground. So, major machlokes is the good between Rav Yosef Eibishitz and the Chabad as to what is the relationship or lack thereof between these two gemaras. According to crazy place, the relationship is so identical, so ironclad that it created this bomb kasha that he had to come up with the shtickle Torah and hide behind the chvishlo Torah. According to the Chabazah, the question never got off the ground in the first place, and therefore there was never any necessity to even come up to any terrorists. If you don't have a cash, you don't need a terrorist. So major, major machlokes. So we'll get you tomorrow. We're going to come back to this machlokes. This machlokes is the greatest place in the Chabazah. Is Yisrael is a very, very long dish of machlokes. It's a one dinim, two dinim, and we're going to see just how this plays out, and we're showing them and how this plays out for us, perhaps in other areas of the world.
Okay. Yeah, crazy place, it's still the tough to us. It's the Rabbanan.
It's the Rabbanan.